Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. The Rubidoux Resident Theater will be opening this season's Landing series with a musical. Executive Director of RRT, Jeff Haney, says Bingo opens this weekend for a three-weekend run.
It's a rather simple storyline with just some great music, but you have this group of ladies that get together once a week to play bingo, and they are hardcore bingo players, not your typical bingo players, where they have all their rituals and their little obsessions with their troll dolls and how they play the game and who sits where. And in that process, you learn a great deal about their friendship and some of the arguments that have occurred over the years, and there's a love interest between one of the ladies and the guy at the bingo hall that does the calling, and so through all that there are lots of wonderful songs, and so and of course at the end, you know, the friends unite again that have been there's one couple that has not spoken to each other for years, and so through the process they mend their relationship, and these two ladies have a great song together, and so there's lots and lots of music. This is really a Midwest premiere. It's going to play in Kansas City later in the year, but we are so proud to be able to have it here in St. Joseph first. And so it's kind of one of those menopause-type musicals where it's really geared toward a lot of ladies, and it's kind of become a cult musical out east where it started, and so we're just glad that it's now traveling across the country.
Can you tell me who this is by and possibly other things that we might have heard from this?
This is the only piece that these people have done, and it's kind of like the menopause people. They've kind of made their living off of one show, and so they're writing this as long as I guess it will take them. And I don't have their names right here in front of me, but it is basically writers that came up with this premise and wrote it themselves, and they promoted themselves just like the menopause people. And so it's just one of those pieces. It's not like something you will see on lots and lots of people's seasons, just because they pick and choose where it goes, and it's a smaller venue piece, and it typically is a dinner theater piece just because it fits that genre so well.
And this will be a dinner theater production?
It is a dinner theater. At the Landing, people always have a choice of seeing show only or having dinner with us. We always love it when they have dinner with us, and it runs September 16th through October 2nd. And again, they can choose to see the show as show only or with dinner and show.
And this is performed by local
actors? It is local actors and actresses, and so you certainly are supporting, you know, the local talent and a local company when coming to see Bingo.
What goes into the decision on bringing programs like Bingo to St. Joseph?
Well, we really look at the national market and what is being successful in other places. We look at that as one of our ways of evaluating what shows. Then we look at, you know, what we believe, just from our experience of 32 years of producing, what will fit well into our market as far as what people find funny, what people find enjoyable. We try not to risk too much at the Landing. At the big stage is where we'll do things like Cabaret and Rent and those maybe a little more controversial shows. But at the dinner theater, we do typical dinner flair. And so this is just a great piece because the music is fun, the storyline is fun, it's light. And, you know, when people come to dinner theater, it typically is a light, fun night. And so we try not to douse that that particular venue with heavy dramas and, you know, heavily controversial musicals.
Haney says tickets for Bingo the Musical are available on the Rubidoux Resident Theater website at rrtstjoe.org or by calling 816-232-1778. Tickets for the performance only include access to the bar and to the dessert menu. Reservations for dinner with the performance are requested at least 48 hours in advance and are recommended be made a week in advance. The Chillicothe Area Arts Council opens its 2011-2012 season with a tribute to the Beatles. Administrator for the Arts Council, Julie Ashbrook, says yesterday and today a Beatles review opens this weekend.
It's a Beatles music review, and it will be done by Billy McGeegan and his band, and they are out of Omaha, and were here 2 years ago and did a program called Rave On, a Buddy Holly review, and it was fabulous. So we're really looking forward to this program.
Do you know what type of songs? I know they're Beatle songs that he'll be performing, but do you know some of the songs that may be included in this?
Yes. They have written a show that they've had in rehearsal for 3 years, and they have memorized every Beatles song. And so it's the whole play set is done by audience request. So any Beatles song that someone in the audience loves and wants to hear, they can request that song, and it'll be played. The program is set up to be interactive with the audience.
So the audience kind of dictates where this goes then.
That's it.
Is it similar to the way the Buddy Holly program was 2 years ago?
Well, they at that show they did not take requests, but that was a extremely energetic show, and people here are still talking about it. It was just a wonderful show, and I feel that the quality of professionalism with this group will indicate that it'll be a great show. They use 19 guitars and 5 keyboards, and they don't dress like the Beatles. They just play the Beatles music with great passion.
Now, Billy was here 2 years ago. Why invite him back so soon?
Well, it's a different show, and we found that having a show with music from that era was very successful for us. It was a great way to kick our season off. And so Buddy Holly was kind of the 50s and the Beatles are the 60s, so we just thought we'd go with it.
Now, you did mention that this does kick off the 2011-2012 season. What are some of the other things coming up that we might be looking forward to this year?
Well, on November 6th, we have the Gene Watson show, and he's kind of a country legend. He's in his 60s now, and I always call and check on shows before we hire, and people love him. We've had people call from very far away, Topeka. They've never been to Chillicothe. They're coming for this show. So it'll be a great country music show. And then at Christmas time, we have the Sanders Family Christmas, and that's a sequel to the play Smoke on the Mountain. So it's a musical comedy, and that'll be a great show. And we have an illusionist in March and the Spencer's Theater of Illusion, and they've sold out in several Missouri towns, Rolla, Warrensburg, and I think they'll be great. And we have several other shows that are really good. So I just think it will be a wonderful show. Billy McGeegan has two of his brothers playing in this show with him. And they grew up with a dad who loved the Beatles music. And so that's really, for them personally, it's a tribute to their father. And so I know that they have worked hard to make this a great show.
That's Administrator for the Chillicothe Area Arts Council, Julie Ashbrook. She says yesterday and today, a Beatles review will be Sunday at the Gary Dickinson Performing Arts Center in Chillicothe. Tickets are available at the door. The box office opens at 2 o'clock. The performance begins at 3. The Olive Deluce Arts Gallery in Maryville is open for the season. The first exhibited this year features the art of faculty at Northwest Missouri State University. Those faculty spoke about their work during a lecture and reception earlier this week. Laura Cookie is Associate Professor of Art at the University and one of the exhibitors.
We do this annually. It's an exhibit of the Faculty of Art, all of our own personal research, our own work. So it's in many different media. There's photography and prints and graphic design and painting and ceramics. Sculpture. I hope I don't leave anyone out.
What about your work? What do you have on exhibit?
My pieces are ceramic. I teach in the ceramics program here. And the pieces I have two pieces, and both of them are groupings of a vessel and objects. They sort of symbolize, my life. And it has something to do with chaos and beauty and really a transformation that I've gone through in my own life in becoming a mom and embracing that chaos and letting that happen. So the work's a little different than I usually make, but I think it's an interesting new direction, and this is the start of something new for me, so...
When you're creating something like this, especially since it's based on, you know, what's happening in your life, do you ever feel vulnerable?
Yeah, I think I feel, because the work is not so obvious, I feel most vulnerable, I think, when I'm putting a title to it. Because then people will really know. It is that, you know, really where it's coming from. And then, of course, when you have to get up and talk about work, especially when it's brand new work, you might not be fully prepared because you haven't completely digested the meaning yourself, because there's an element of intuition that comes into making that way, especially the way I work. So it takes me, I feel like it takes me two or even three years sometimes to completely process and understand what I've made, you know, in retrospect. So when the work is so fresh, yes, it's a little vulnerable, you know. So those pieces are brand new. So yeah, they feel a little that way.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the process? Do you get the idea and then create it and then name it, or is it?
Yeah, the idea. Comes mostly, I think, from what I would like to see. Like, I have a vision of what the feeling I want to communicate, and I feel, I think about how the work should move, what kind of space it should take up, what types of forms I want to see, what kinds of color combinations I would like to see. And I reflect on, you know, how it may have a relationship to, you know, some of the ideas that I've been percolating. So it's sort of ideas and a vision of what I want to see visually, and then I make it and think about it a lot and do more drawings, and then once it's done, then hopefully I'm able to name it and then present it.
On the two pieces that you have here, were these the only pieces, or did you create a series, or, you know, was this a process until you finally got to these pieces?
Yes. This work that's in the gallery right now is from this past summer. And during the summer, I did do many pieces along the same sort of idea, had a very similar sort of look. But these, I think, were the most successful. They were later, you know, they were at the end of the summer. They were, you know, just two out of many that I made. So usually when I'm making a series, there's many at the beginning that are, you know, failed attempts at trying to do whatever I'm doing. So
why is it important for faculty at Northwest to show the students what they've been creating?
Well, I think it's important for the students to understand that we're artists and that we have a lot of the same sorts of struggles that they may while they're growing, and that we're also growing, and that we've continually changed and grown over the years while we're making work. And I think it's important for students to sort of understand that about their teachers, is that, you know, we're people too, and we're artists too, and we have weird ideas that don't always work, and it's okay, and that's what we're doing here. And just put it out there and show them that, you know, we're participating in this together.
That was Associate Professor of Art at Northwest Missouri State University, Laura Cookie. Another faculty member showing work in this month's exhibit is Chairman of the Art Department, Phil Labor.
Well, these are actually the two newest pieces in a suite of prints I've been working on for about 6 years or so. They're a hybrid prints, which means that they're part etched or engraved traditional prints and that are printed on top of a digital component, an inkjet digital component. And, you know, they represent a developing, almost an evolutionary awareness of politics and cultural engagement within our world, both domestic and abroad.
Is the connection between your art and politics something you've always been interested in?
You know, I think there has been. I mean, I've always been interested in the figure. And of course, the figure is symbolic in so many different ways. But, yeah, I mean, I think I even one time many years ago kind of qualified myself as a news junkie. You know, so I'm kind of always listening and kind of always trying to be aware of the dynamics that happen in our own country and abroad, and of course now how, you know, those are, you know, inseparable. But, you know, as I've gotten older and maybe a little bit more reflective on world affairs, it's become increasingly an important inspiration and influence in my work.
How did politics influence the pieces that you have here? What are you trying to express with these pieces?
Well, in the piece called House of Cards, Arab Spring, you know, I'm really looking at how tenuous societies are within our world, and how power and politics affects the expression of societies. And even when one thinks that there's a turn for the good, I mean, there's always some hidden potential for some disaster to occur, some counterculture, some counter, you know, confluence of events that causes things to go awry. You know, so that's where the House of Cards kind of comes into all the pieces. You know, that there's this tenuous element that's unpredictable. And that stable societies and economies, especially economies that we know so well, you know, which at one hand seem to be strong and thriving, can the next day just kind of turn around and fall apart. And, you know, I'm just kind of comparing and contrasting and analyzing and synthesizing and doing these things we'd like to have our students do, except that I'm looking at you know, my own position relative to the world, and trying to see, you know, trying to make sense of it all.
As a teacher, I would assume that you're always hoping that your students will learn something from both your lectures in the classroom, but also in the artwork that you create. What are you hoping that they get when they look at your pieces?
That's interesting. You know, because I don't think that I really consider students when I do my own work. I mean, I think... If anything, I think of a larger audience than that, and I'll admit that there's probably been times in the past when there were only a very few select students that got to see me at work or in a process of work, because, you know, I focus on students as individuals, and I want to help them, you know, come to their own potential and follow their own interests and their own pursuits. So, in a way, I guess I'm just a little bit protective, but not entirely, because it's really important for them to see the faculty go through our own creative processes, and it is inspirational to them. So I'm not afraid, for example, that they're going to copy me or do things like I do. I just want, you know, I feel it's really important for them to find their own voice. So when I'm doing my own work, I mean, I'm doing essentially the same thing. You know, I'm trying to find my own voice in a very complex art world and tradition and history. And, you know, and you can't also discount process. I mean, I'm not necessarily a product-oriented artist. I mean, I make products. I make, you know, pieces that are you know, can be framed and stuck on a wall. But it's the discovery, it's the self-discovery, it's the awareness, it's the fulfillment of making that's just about as important as the thing that's made. And if I've done my research right, and if I've done my form craft right, then, you know, hopefully it communicates those things that I have in mind.
So then a viewer, if they're able to get a message from it, that's all the better then.
Well, I hope that I'm directing the viewer, you know, down a certain path. But I also hope that I'm leaving open questions and possibilities and pathways that, you know, that they can make their own associations and arrive at conclusions that I haven't necessarily arrived at.
As an artist, how do you know if you're successful?
Tough question. Because in our culture, in our society, usually it's some external, extrinsic reward or recognition or something. And I've always been kind of perplexed by colleagues in the past who say, oh, that doesn't, you know, that external reward doesn't mean anything to me. I can secretly think, well, it does. I mean, it means something to everybody, you know, to be recognized for something that you've done. You know, just to give you a sense of self-worth and value. But, you know, I think probably I'm at a point in my career where there are some of those measuring sticks that, you know, come from your own experience and your own developing identity as an artist, and it's not as important to have external things. But, you know, if I have to play that game, which you do in the art world, then I know that I am arriving at some degree of success because of the ability to get into competitive national exhibitions, to win an occasional juror's award or, you know, something, so that, you know, there is some external measurement that, wait a minute here, I am doing something that has some significance beyond my own self-importance.
That was Chairman of the Art Department at Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. Phil Labor. The art faculty exhibit will be on display until early October. It'll be taken down to make room for the next exhibit by Kansas artist Mary Dorsey Wamless, an artist working with tintype to create large-scale mosaics. The Olive Deluce Art Gallery is located in the Fine Arts Building on the campus of Northwest Missouri State University. It's open Monday evenings from 6 until 9, Tuesday through Saturday afternoons from 1 until 5, and Sunday afternoons from 1:30 until 5. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCB KRNW website, kxcb.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.